Okay. Well, greetings from Golden Lake, Ontario. And thus I don't get another opportunity. I'd like to say the very best of the celebration of the birth of Christ to you. Traditionally, that is coming up on December the 25th. And we may not know exactly what day, but we know he came. We know he was born of a virgin. And we know that the Lord Jesus took on flesh, the incarnation. God stepped out of heaven in the person of his son one day, the Lord Jesus, and came to die on a cross, a cruel cross, for the sins of the world, to give his life a ransom for many. And so welcome. I'm glad you could join us today. And I want to begin my message today by telling you a bit of a story. And the story was when I lived in Northern Ontario from 1979 to 1989. It was actually the first time that I had been connected to or in fellowship in an assembly similar to 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. Before that, Ann and I did not meet with the brethren. We were in Bible school before that for a number of years, worked at the Bible school for a number of years, and then started fellowshipping with the Bethel Gospel Chapel in New Liskeard, Ontario. So we bought a house and we had some neighbors. And I got to know some of the neighbors. And one of the neighbors in particular, Mr. Harley Walton was his name. I got to be good friends with him. And one day he sort of pulled me to the side, as almost to tell me a secret. And he shared with me that he believed that there were diamonds in the area. Now, in front of the house and where we lived, across the road in front of the house, was a large lake called Lake Temiskaming. And Lake Temiskaming separated Quebec from Ontario at that point. And so Mr. Walton told me that all of his life, he's been doing research, and all of his research directed him that under the water in Lake Temiskaming were diamonds. I mean, he had researched the whole area. He'd gone for hundreds of miles in every direction. And according to the layers and the faults and the minerals, he said there are diamonds in the bottom of this lake. Well, Mr. Walton died believing that there were diamonds in the bottom of that lake. I don't know whether I believe there are diamonds in the bottom of that lake or not, but I know this, that if we're all honest, we'd like to find some diamonds or gold or silver or a hid treasure or a lost fortune or something like that. I mean, if you bought an old house and you were renovating the house, and you're tearing down a wall or something, and inside the wall, you found a treasure map that the family that had owned that house for years and years and years left a map of where the hid treasure was. And the map led you so many paces from the front door, so many paces from the oak tree, and so many feet deep, you know. Now, are you telling me you wouldn't dig? Of course you would dig. I'd dig, I think, if I found a map like that. There just seems to be something sort of in us that makes us somehow gravitate to that. Or is it the adventure of it? Is it the sensation of it? Is it the old legend, the old sunken treasure, the lost gold mine, or what? I don't know what it is, but there seems to be something about it. And whether you try to invest in the stock market or find some place to put your money, whether you're digging for diamonds or searching for gold, some people actually try to make their money in casinos by gambling and things like this. It's an amazing that we somehow inside of us would like to strike it rich or find the sunken treasure or the hidden treasure somewhere. Now, the Bible actually addresses this. By a matter of fact, in the Proverbs, it says that if man would search for the will of God, if man would search for understanding or the knowledge of God or wisdom, if he would search for that to the same degree that he seeks after silver, or seeks after hid treasures, he will find it. The verse, I'm not going to read it, but if you're taking notes, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 5 talks about it. And the summary is this, that if you seek for the things of God like you'd seek for silver, if you would search for them like you would search for a hid treasure, guess what will happen? You'll find it. You'll find it. Now, the New Testament verifies that. Even the Lord Jesus himself says this, that if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, it'll be open to you. If you ask, you will receive. So if something is looked for or sought after or searched for, you can find it. Now, here's the dilemma. People like Mr. Walton, my neighbor, will take his whole life to try to find some diamonds under a lake. Why is it we won't search for spiritual things? Why is it that we won't search for hid treasures in the Bible that God has for us? And I think the obvious answer is simply this. I want to find something that'll make me rich because I realize I'm not rich and I'd like to be rich. And if I could win the lottery or somehow find a lost gold mine or something, then that's my motive. I'd like to be something that I'm not. That's kind of my motive. Okay. When it comes to spiritual things, why aren't people searching for salvation or peace with God or the will of God? Now, why aren't they searching for that? I will tell you my evaluation of that is they don't see themselves having a need for that in their life. Like if you're underwater and you're drowning, guess what you want? Oxygen, air. You'll try everything you can to get to the surface. Well, you need it, okay? And I don't think people understand that they are drowning in sin today. They're drowning in a dark world today. They have no peace with God. They don't know what life's all about. They don't stop to think, if I could just find God. They don't think it like that. They don't seem to appreciate that. They don't want to find that treasure. Gold, silver, jewels, sunken treasures, lost. If I could have some money, if I could have some diamonds, So let me speak to you today about a treasure that you need that will make you rich, not in time, But it will. But beyond time, this treasure will, are you listening? Make you rich for all of eternity. Now, if you have a Bible, 2 Corinthians in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians. I'm going to chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 3. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and verse 3. And we read these words. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the image of God, should shine into them. Now, think about this for a minute. The God of this world has a plan, and his plan is that you may not find the hid treasure of God. He wants to blind your mind, blind your heart, keep you from seeing the light. That's what we said. He blinds the minds who do not believe, so that the light of the gospel should shine unto them. Christ, the gospel of Christ, should shine to them. Now look at one more verse, verse 7. Verse 7. Paul said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So let's think about hid treasures for a minute today. And let's think about what the treasure is. What is this treasure in verse 7 in earthen vessels? What is this light in verse 4 that the enemy of your soul is trying to keep you from seeing? What is this, those that believe and those that are perishing? What is this all about? Well, first of all, let me tell you what the treasure is. The treasure is Jesus Christ himself. If you could imagine that people on earth as humankind, as the population, could you imagine that their goal is to find the most precious treasure that they could ever find? And after millenniums of looking, someone finally finds it. And guess what it is? It's Jesus. He's the epitome of riches. He is the greatest treasure that you could ever find. You say, well, but, you know, we're looking for the Ark of the Covenant, or we're looking for the Ark on the mountains of Ararat, or we're looking for the red heifer that Israel needs to start the sacrificial system again. Please, folks, listen to me. Christ is the answer. And let me share with you, this treasure is Christ. He is the hidden treasure. This gospel of Christ, this light is the message of Christ, how that he died for your sins, that he was buried, that he rose again, that he died for the sins of the world, that the whole world is lost in sin and darkness, and God sends the light. Jesus said, I am the light, and he came to give his life. And the problem is, the enemy of our souls, Satan himself, doesn't want you to see that. So the treasure is none other than the good news that Jesus has come, the gospel, even Jesus Christ himself. So that's the treasure. That's the hidden treasure. Now, let's ask this question. Where is it located? Where can I find this hidden treasure, this treasure that is kept in earthen vessels? Ah, good question. You see, There are two locations where this treasure is. Some people have found it. And when you find the Lord Jesus, or maybe more accurately, when he finds you, when you give up and give in and you realize you're a sinner and he's the Savior and you trust him, the Bible says at that moment that the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your life, that is, into your heart, that is, into your soul and spirit, into the intangible part of your life, not the physical heart, but you as an individual. And the Bible says that the very spirit of Christ himself comes to live in you. Jesus comes to live in. And once he comes to live in you, now we got it. This treasure is in earthen vessels. I'm made of earth. God formed me from the dust of the ground. We're made in the image of God. And when I trust Christ, now I have the hid treasure in me, in earthen vessels. The Bible says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you, and you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. So we understand that. But what's the other location? Oh, they didn't find it yet. That's what we read. They didn't find it yet. Look at verse 3 again. If our gospel is hidden or veiled, it is hidden to those who are perishing. Now listen to me. Right now, right where you sit or right where you are, at home or in the chapel, are you listening? You are either on your way to heaven right now, or you are on your way to hell right now. You're either saved by the grace of God, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, or you're not. You see, the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not, so that the light of the gospel of Christ could shine to them. He said, I'm going to fool you. I'm going to veil this treasure. I'm going to hide this treasure from you, and you're not going to be able to see this treasure. So the gospel is in two locations. The treasure is in two locations. Christ is in two locations. He either lives in the heart of those that believe or he doesn't. The treasure is still lost to them. I've already alluded to this, but let me just clear the board. The one who blinds the minds is the enemy of your soul. Let me give you some names. He's called Satan, the old serpent, the devil, the dragon, the ruler of the darkness of this world, the prince of the power of the air. These are all names that are given to once an angelic creature who, as it were, was in the very presence of God in heaven, but he rebelled. He said, I will exalt my throne above the throne of God, and I want to be God. And in that rebellion, God cast him out of heaven. And we believe probably a third of all angelic creatures that God created went with him. And so Satan was cast down to the earth. And listen to me, he became the God of this world. So when we read the God of this world or the God of this age, it's not reference to Almighty God. It's reference to the ruler of darkness, Satan himself. So he is the one that blinds. So we'll ask ourselves a question, how does he do that? How does the God of this world, how does Satan blind? How does he keep people from finding the hid treasure of peace with God, Jesus Christ, the good news, the gospel? How does he do that? Let me give you a few suggestions. Let me suggest that he does that by the very thing that caused his fall out of heaven down to the earth in judgment, pride. You know what pride is? I'll do it myself. Thank you very much. I'm capable. I'm strong. I can do it. I don't need any help. Nobody's telling me what to do. The serpent beguiled Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he said, what did God say? And she told him, God said all this and don't eat of the tree. And the devil said, God lied to you. He knows if you eat of that fruit, listen to this, you will be like God. Did you ever consider that the first temptation recorded in the Bible was so deceptive that the temptation was to be godly? The devil said, if you eat of the fruit of that tree, you'll be godly. You'll be like God. God doesn't want you to be like him. And so the woman saw the tree. She knew it was good. She knew it would make her wise. She fell to that. And sin entered into the human race. The devil is still blinding the minds of people today by saying, you don't need God. You don't need him. We can do without him. You can be your own God. You can row your own boat. You can determine your own destiny. He blinds the minds of those that don't believe. He also blinds the minds by telling people, if you don't like it, you don't have to do it. Rebellion, kind of independence, kind of get out of my road, you know. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned our back on God. We've gone our own independent way, and the devil encourages that, a rebellious attitude. Here's another one, self-righteousness. I'm not that bad. Matter of fact, when I compare myself with you, I'm just as good or better. It's kind of interesting. Jesus said, I didn't come to lead the righteous to repentance, but sinners. If you think you're good enough, you don't want to search for any spiritual hid treasures because you don't need them. In your mind, I got my own church. I got my own religion. I got my own way. I'm doing very fine. Thank you very much. And I'll just be as good as I can, and that'll be good enough. He blinds the mind. Here's a big one, education. How many of us know somebody or have, even in our own families, had an otherwise good Sunday school boy or girl, grew up saying they're a Christian, living a Christian life. We send them off to higher education. I'm not sure it's higher. I think it might come right from the pit. I'm not sure. I'm not against education. Don't get me wrong. But when you send people off to secular universities and they come back saying, I don't think there's a God anymore, what did they learn? The whole educational system, if you please, is to get them not to believe in God, just to believe in themselves. Romans chapter 1 says they became smarter than God. They worship the creature rather than the creator. There's all kinds of things that they can know, but the devil uses what I'm going to say is higher education to blind the minds of them that believe not. They even want you to say, don't worry about creation. You came from nothing, you are nothing, you're going to nothing. Oh, what am I leaving out? Creator. Oh, if I include a creator, I might be accountable. I'd rather not include a creator. I think I'll just be an atheist. Blinding the mind. Paul puts it like this in Romans 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, Romans 1, 22. Here's another one. He blinds the minds of people today. You know what he tells them? Depression and death are really not that bad. You know, it will horrify you to realize that Canada and other countries now are practicing some sort of, you know, assisted suicide. You know what I mean? And it's not just older people. It is actually, if you just, like, here's the philosophy. If you can't handle life anymore, just take your own life. It's not that bad, you know. There's a story about a light at the end of the tunnel. I had this warm feeling. Oh, friends, that's the lie of the devil. You die without Christ. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's no warm feeling. Disappointed unto man wants to die. And after that, the judgment. The God of this world is promoting these things and blinding the mind. He's even promoting religion. Paul writes in Timothy, and he says, in the latter times, the end of the church age, there's going to be a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Many good denominational churches who started off preaching the gospel, they don't preach the gospel anymore. It's a social religion. It's a God is a God of love. And every imaginable sin is accepted within religion today. So he promotes religion and denies the very work of Christ. What's the power? It's the power of the gospel. And he just wants you to be amused. Meaning no. Muse means to think. You want to think? Go to a museum. You don't want to think? Go and be amused at a movie or a play or something. Listen, you wouldn't go home tonight and get in bed and open all your doors and windows and say, let's just see what comes in. You wouldn't be that stupid, I'm sure, you know. Don't do that with your mind. Don't do that with your heart. The devil wants to lull you to sleep and take you to hell by being amused, not to think. Here's a statistic for you. I got lots, but I'm out of time. Here's one. In 2010, in the United States of America, toys for boys and girls, you ready for this? How much did they spend in 2010 on toys? Are you ready? $22 billion on toys. The sad part of that is children in the United States only makes up 4% of the world's population of children. And they spend $22 billion on toys, toys. You know, you pack these little gifts for third world countries, a Samaritan's purse or some missionary box, and you put a little stuffed animal in there for a Christmas gift for a kid, and it might be the only toy that kid gets in his whole life. United States, $22 billion. So I thought, well, I wonder what's happened since 2010. And I looked it up this morning, 2019 to 2021, $43.3 billion. For what? Toys for kids. Just be amused. Just don't think. Well, there's much more that can be said, but let me tell you another way. The devil says there are no morals. There are no absolutes. There's nothing wrong. If it's two consenting adults, you can do anything you want to do, and it'll be okay. Let's quickly say, why does he do that? Why does the devil blind the minds of them that believe not? We read it right in our text. In verse 4, it says, so you can't see the light. He will fill your mind and your heart with things and possessions and immorality and riches and education and on and on and on. So you have no time. He pulled the blindfold so tight over your eyes that you couldn't possibly see the light. So then we say, ask this question in closing, how could I find that treasure? How could I find it? Dear friend, if you're listening today and you don't have the treasure in earthen vessels, Jesus is not in your heart. There's only one cure for you, just one. Are you listening? Faith. Faith. Listen, F-A-I-T-H, faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. What does that mean? That means you must believe in God. It means whatever God says, I believe that. God says, I'm eternal. You say, I believe God's eternal. God says, I have a son called Jesus. He came and died and rose again the third day for you. I go, I believe that. I believe God. Yeah. If you trust my son, I'll forgive you of your sins. And so I said, I believe that. God promised that. Not only will I forgive you of your sins, I'll be with you on earth. I'll take you to heaven for all of eternity. F-A-I-T-H. However I lived, whatever I believed, I'm putting that aside, and I'm believing God. Faith, forsaking all, I trust him. Only him. Just Christ. Nothing else. In closing, there was a ship sailing on the ocean, and they got lost. They ran out of food and water. They died. They saw another ship. They flagged a message to the other ship. It says, we're perishing. Do you have any water? We have no water. We're perishing. The other ship flagged back. Water all around you. Drop your buckets. As though to mock them. Well, no, there's water all around. You can't drink salt water. We know that. What that crew on that ship that was perishing didn't know is that they were in the current of that mighty Amazon River that was pushing fresh water into the ocean for miles and miles, fresh water all around them, and they didn't know it. Drop your buckets. Dear friend, the gospel's all around you. God loves you. Christ died for you. You need to be saved. The God of this world doesn't want you to see the light, but there is one cure for spiritual blindness. Please listen to me. Trust Christ today. Man says, God, you show me, and I'll believe. God said, I already showed you. My son died on the cross for you. You believe, and then I'll open your eyes of the wonderful things that I have for you. Don't let the devil blind your heart and blind your eyes. Step a step of faith today. You know there's a void in your heart. You know there's an emptiness. You know the Bible says, if I search for it, if I ask for it, if I knock, it'll be given to me. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Trust Christ today. And the blindfold will be removed. You will see the love of God. You will know the joy of sins forgiven and being with him forever. Hid treasures? It's not hid for those who've trusted Christ. He lives in their heart. Do you have him in your heart? You could have him in your heart this very moment. Let's pray. Father, in thy mercy, whoever might hears this message, and the Lord Jesus is not in their heart, they know he's not in their heart. We're praying that your Holy Spirit will convince them right now, right where they are, and say, I want that treasure in my heart. I want Jesus in my heart. I want to find peace with God. I want to know why I'm on earth. I want to know what God's plan for my life is. And Father, we know that if they seek, they will find. And so we commend them to you today. We pray everyone that hears this message might have the Lord Jesus in their heart today. In Jesus' name, amen.